As we round off with this last Sunday in our month of taking charge by the force of prayer, we want to see the things we must avoid. That cause prayerlessness. Place we read just now, the Bible made it clear that as we approach the end of the age, there will be the plague of prayerlessness. People are going to be less prayerful. A lot of dependence on other things other than God. And in the first service, we looked at five causes. Things that make people prayerless. Number one was sinfulness. We said that sin attacks love for God. And sin reduces boldness towards God. And sin brings a separation between man and God. It's not possible to be sinful and be prayerful. Sinfulness. Number two was wordlessness, the lack of the word of God in the life of a person. The word of God is fuel for prayer. When that word is lacking, it is difficult to pray effectively in the absence of the word. Number three was haughtiness, pride, arrogance. Proud people don't perceive the need for God. They are a God to themselves. So there's no need for prayer, according to the proud. Haughtiness. Number four was busyness. I am so busy. I have so much to do with my life, I don't have the time to pray. It has made many people busy like the bee, and yet life is not easy. Number five is the wrong influence. When you are related, associated with someone who does not value spiritual things, people who don't value your values, they will destroy your spirituality. We looked at all of that in the first service. Now, for this service, it's number one and it's number seven overall. First, for the sake of the second service, thing that hinder prayerfulness is worldliness. Worldliness. Worldliness is an attack on prayerfulness. Worldliness. When a person is entangled, distracted, overwhelmed with the world and the things of the world, it affects their prayer life. Carnality is the enemy of spirituality. When a man's life is world-centered, earth-centered, earth-bound. Everything revolves around this life and this world. And two things you must note. Worldliness is the suffocation of spirituality. It suffocates spirituality. In Matthew chapter 13 verse 22, the parable of the sower, it says, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. In Mark chapter 4, verse 18 to 19 as well, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust, cravings for too many things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Worldliness is suffocation of spirituality. Many people's spiritual lives are suffocated because of the vanities of this life. Second thing to note is that worldliness brings enmity between man and God. Enmity between man and God. James chapter 4 verse 3 to 4. Enmity between man and God. It's not possible. You say you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, you know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Enmity with God. Enmity with God happens. Enmity with God happens. How can you be prayerful? How can you approach the one who is your enemy? It's not possible. There is a breakdown of relationship between God and the one who is overwhelmed with worldliness. Worldliness is the first for this service. The next is faithlessness. That is number 2 or number 7. Faithlessness. Faithlessness is a foundation for prayerlessness. Luke 18:1. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Then in verse 8, he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Which means that there is a connection between faith and prayer. How does faith connect with prayerfulness? Two things. One, faith is necessary to believe that God is real and exists. Without faith, Hebrews 11 says, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Faith is necessary to make a man believe that God is real. Faith is necessary to make us believe that we are not wasting our time pursuing a God that does not exist. Faith is necessary to cause us believe in the reality of God. So faithlessness is prayerlessness. If you don't think God is real, what is the basis of praying if it's not real? Secondly, faith is necessary to believe for and receive our rewards from God. To believe for and receive our rewards from God without wavering. Without wavering. Very important. Without wavering. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. James chapter 1 verse 6. Look at what he said. He said, but let him ask in faith, not in wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Your prayer life is shaky if you are not sure that God can be relied upon. I am still praying for this nation because I believe God can be relied upon. If you are to look at things in the physical, you don't want to pray. I still pray for the sick because I know God heals the sick. I know God delivers the oppressed. So faithlessness, the end of your faith is the end of your prayer. You won't pray to a God you don't believe in. You won't pray to a God you don't believe hears and answers. Number 3, which is number 8, is ungratefulness. Ungratefulness is a cause of prayerlessness. Why is that so? First, gratefulness or gratitude grants man access to God in the first place. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. He grants us access. Your gratitude and your gratefulness gives you access, first and foremost. Because it's not possible to talk to a person, to have the audience of someone whose access you don't have. You have to be in the presence of God first before you can ask for things. So when people are ungrateful, it is impossible for them to access God. They can't feel God's presence. They can't be around God's presence. It's not possible for them to interact with God. Because the presence of God is not possible for the ungrateful. It's not possible. Secondly, gratefulness recognizes God as the doer of all things and believes God for the things that must be done. It recognizes God as the doer of all things, of all good things, and believes God for the things that must be done. Psalm 103 verse 1 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. A man is grateful to God because he believes that God was the reason why he came out of sickness, not just medication. That God was the reason why he didn't die before his time. I'm sure you believe that God is the reason why. How many of you know that? People can die of the common malaria and die of the common typhoid. Dr. Chris, my a member of my team in the university, the teaching hospital, died of typhoid enteric perforation within a teaching hospital setting under the nose of all the consultants. He couldn't be saved. Not that they wanted him to, everybody did everything, and yet he had as common as typhoid fever that perforated, fecal peritonitis, and from there he was gone. Oh, if the drug, the teaching hospital, the consultants, the doctors, the professors could save, he would have been saved. So don't ever think that somebody's wisdom kept you alive. Otherwise, the wisdom of the sick doctor would have kept himself alive. Am I communicating at all? So when you are grateful, you are recognizing that there is a God behind everything. That recognition takes you to him to ask him for things. So if you are not recognizing him, you are not grateful to him. And if you are not recognizing him and you are not grateful to him, what is the need of asking him for things? Since he is not the doer of anything for you. Do you understand that? Since things happen to you by accident or happen by chance. That is why grateful people are prayerful people. Show me anyone who understands gratitude. You don't beg them to pray. Because they know their very existence depends on God. Their very survival depends on God. Whatever good thing they see in their lives depends on God. One day I heard Bishop Oyedepo say, everything that happened right around here that you see, God did it. Everything that happened here that is not good, that you don't like, I was the one who did it. It's human. If it is good, God did it. If there's an error, a mistake, I did it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? What a heart. That keeps you relying on God, dependent on God, and prayerful. That was number 3 or number 8. The next number, the 4th one or the 8th, is weariness. Weariness is a cause of prayerlessness. Weariness that may come from two channels. Weariness from excessive busyness of life that excludes God from your schedule. Excessive busyness of life. You are so busy. When you return back, you need in all you needed to do was just to fall asleep. You woke up in the morning, you rush out to work. Weariness from excessive busyness of life, or weariness from discouragement. God has not answered me. I've been praying all this while. I'm tired. How long will I be coming to church and not see results? Whatever be the channel of the weariness, it's an attack on your prayer life. But two things I want you to know why weariness is dangerous. First, weariness is the paralysis of action. Even profitable actions are paralyzed. Weariness brings about the paralysis of action, including actions that are profitable. That was why he said in Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, be not weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. So the right thing, you can be paralyzed out of the action of doing the right thing when you are wearied. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. So weariness brings fainting. You are just paralyzed from action. And secondly, weariness frustrates drive and enthusiasm. In the first case, it was energy that was lacking because of weariness. In this second case, it is the drive. The drive itself is not there. The enthusiasm to pray is not there. Because you are too discouraged to pray. You are too hopeless to pray. You are too despondent to pray. The devil has deceived you to a point where you no drive to pray anymore. He said, in Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 12, that you be not slothful. Don't lose your drive. Don't lose your enthusiasm. But be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. If there are promises you have not yet inherited, don't slow down. Don't reduce your prayer life. Don't reduce your activities with God. There were those ahead of us. Abraham was 25 years before the promised child came. Through faith and patience they inherit. So let's follow their example, he said. Refuse to be tired. Refuse to be exhausted. Refuse to be weary. Refuse to be dispirited. Refuse to be demotivated. Because in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I came across the material of Russell Conwell, who wrote Acres of Diamond. He was the founder of Temple University. He told the story of the days of the gold rush, where people were digging grounds for gold and selling properties to go and buy gold. A man started digging his ground, his own property for gold. He kept on digging and dug to a point where he got wearied and exhausted. He couldn't find gold. He was wearied. He sold his property and took the money of the sale to go and look for gold. The next person who bought the property continued digging from where he stopped. One more hit, there was gold. True story that I read. It's a Christian man. That most people only give up at the edge of a mighty breakthrough. They only give up at the brink of an explosion. Something almost changed. Something almost shifted. Then you got tired. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? One more prayer to pray. One more fasting to fast. One more all night to conduct. One more obedience to carry out. And then things change. And the people give up. That will never be your portion. You will never lose out at a dying minute. Can I hear a louder amen? You will never lose out at the dying minute. Can I hear a louder amen? You will never lose out at the dying minute. Can I hear the loudest amen? And finally, it is the lack of mentoral inspiration. What number are we now? We just finished number 9, right? Number 10 is the absence of mentoral inspiration. One of the best things that can happen to anybody is to be inspired by somebody to keep moving, to keep doing the right thing. My father in the Lord, Bishop Oyedepo, is going on evangelism every day. We saw him about 2 weeks ago. That day, I think he said he won about 200 souls. Personally. A person at that level, with such level of impact, nationally, globally, 2 universities. What else do you want? 70-something years old. Still under the drive. People expire when they are not inspired. If there is nobody and nothing inspiring your life, you are at the brink of expiring out of life. Were we not at the Nations worship on Friday night, inside of which we had the Command the Day Midnight prayer, and we stepped out of there, barely had any measure of sleep, and then we're there with our children here doing their graduation yesterday, and then from the graduation, the mid-year worship on Friday night. And if you are not there, I don't know where you were. Where you were in the world. From that mid-year worship, went to the school graduation. From the school's graduation, we went on evangelistic. Do you have any clip of the school graduation? From the school's graduation, we went for this crusade. That's yesterday. Massive altar call. I think some of them will be here this morning. Anguansiawa. Anybody from the United Sewa today, U.S.? Right, wave your hands. There they are, sitting at the back there. From there, commanding the day midnight prayer. From commanding the day midnight prayer, Sunday morning service, first service. From first service, Sunday morning second service. Here we are together. I am not telling the story of another person, no. I am telling the story of the person standing in front of you now. And your own assignment was only to attend the night vision. And by 6 p.m. you have not woken up yet. But you have not woken up yet. Even when you woke up, we know you are still sleeping. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you have somebody over you or around your life who is driven like that, No matter how hard you try, it will be hard to be totally slothful, to be totally lazy. When we went around our father in the Lord, Papa Yereko, the discipline was so much. The schedule was so tight. Those who could not cope disappeared on the spot. There is plenty on time. Hallelujah. What is the purpose of inspiration? Number one, inspiration. When you have a mentoral inspiration, inspiration brings impartation. Romans chapter 1 verse 11, he said, I long to see you that I might impart on you spiritual gifts. Spiritual energy is impartable. Fire is impartable. It brings impartation. There is a spirit of one man came from America 2 years ago. He said, I laid hands on him. And after I laid hands on him, his appetite got suspended. He could not eat any day before 6 p.m. And he continued like that for over 1 year. After the last time I met him, he was still on. He had not broken the fast. Every day, morning till six. There was something, a grace, an unction, because for me, fasting is a natural life. As a matter of fact, most days that I have not fasted, breakfast may be like 1 p.m. That is early breakfast. That's breakfast. There are people by 9 a.m. their leg is shaking. That they are seeing double by 10. When somebody said he fasted for 40 days from 6 a.m. to 12 o'clock, I didn't despise it, but I said, okay, so what have I been doing with my own life? Do you understand what I'm saying? So that came on him and suspended his appetite. I've heard this kind of story from not one or two people, from plenty of people. Something just dropped on them. If you have a spiritual covering that is prayerful, prayer enters you naturally. If you have a spiritual covering that is not lazy, energy enters you if you align correctly. And you are not just playing church. And you are not just there for entertainment. Spiritual influence brings impartation. And secondly, spiritual association. So, impartation is a transference of grace. Now, spiritual association and influence also brings assimilation. You absorb it. There is an absorption. It's not even that he dropped anything, but by just being in the climate, you acquire it. You acquire something. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. When they beheld the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus dropped something in them. Jesus, not that Jesus prayed for them. By just being around, they absorbed it. So when people don't have any functional covering or influence that carries anything substantial, and especially as it is in the realm of praying, it is possible for them to be dispirited and demotivated and to retire and become redundant. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. My counsel is twofold today. So if we are to look at all the 10 points together from the first service, we'll say that the first thing that attacks prayerlessness is sinfulness. That attacks prayerfulness is sinfulness. Can you place on the screen? Number two, it's wordlessness. Number three, haughtiness. Number four, you can say it with me, busyness. Number five, the wrong influence. Number six, worldliness. Number seven, faithlessness. Number eight, ungratefulness. Number nine, weariness. And number ten, the absence of mentoral inspiration. Now, two counsels I gave in the first service, and they are standard counsels for this service as well. Number one, ensure that you maintain and sustain a prayerful life as your spiritual lifeline. Prayerful life as your spiritual lifeline. Prayerful life as your spiritual lifeline. Pray without ceasing means pray like you breathe. Nobody can live without breathing. So spiritual life is at risk without praying. Pray like you breathe. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always without prayer. Praying always without prayer and supplications. Always, all the time. Pray like you breathe. Number two, always follow the leading of the Spirit unto prayer. Follow the leading of the Spirit unto prayer. There are times the Holy Spirit will give you a call unto prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It is not every time breakfast is presented that you eat. You know why? Because there may be a burden to pray and fast. How do you know? All of a sudden you don't feel hungry at all. The appetite seems suspended. Don't force yourself. Move into praying. Pray through until the appetite returns. There are times when you have a burden of praying. You woke up in the night, you wanted to sleep, you couldn't sleep back. Don't force it. You can actually pray yourself back to sleep. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You are in the group of your, among your friends, and you are talking. Otherwise, suddenly you became uneasy. You felt uneasy. Step aside from that unease and get into the closet with God. And ask him, Lord, what are you saying to me? And begin to pray. Many calamities can be averted when you follow the leading of prayer. And many opportunities can be established when you follow the leading of prayer. Many are so careless about spiritual matters. And when you are casual about spiritual things, you end as a casualty in the natural realm. Did you hear what I just said? When you are casual about the spiritual, you can become a casualty in the natural. That will never be your portion. You know what they mean of that? Because maybe a danger is ahead and God suspended your appetite so you can fast and made your spirit uneasy so you can pray so that that danger can be tackled before it arrived. But to just continue because food is ready. Food is ready. You know, it's the title of most restaurants. Food is ready. Have you seen the title before? Of most restaurants? Food is ready. Food is ready. It is not everywhere you see that title that you follow. Food is ready. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a new day for you. It's a new day for you. You will not miss out. The next opportunity God shall give you to pray shall not be wasted. Stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Loud most amen. Well, why not lift your hands and let's appreciate God for this moment. Appreciate the King of Kings for this moment. Give him the praise and give him the honor. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. We give you the worship. We give you the supremacy. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, Rufeka. Thank you, Mekadesh. We worship you. We honor you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. We're going to pray and do something intensive and extensive praying just now. But before we do that, lift your hands everywhere and say, Father, do we have the prayer line of the first service? Say, Father,
I come before you today.
I come before you today.
I receive the grace,
to avoid
the plague of prayerlessness. In the name of Jesus, I receive the grace to embrace the journey of prayerfulness. I receive that grace now. In the name of Jesus, lift your voice and speak to God. Pray. Go ahead and pray. Father, deliver me from the flame of prayerlessness.
Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we are praying. Job chapter 1, verse 10.
Let's just go. I want to go.
Has thou not made an hedge about it, and about his house, and about all that he has of every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land.
Hallelujah. Pray with me. Say, Father,
I ask
for the establishment of your blessing hedge around your own that are connected to this altar against arrows of sudden destruction, disease, or death. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift up your voice.
Matthew 16:18-19. Let's read.
And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. And I will give up to thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Father,
we ask
for the frustration
and destruction
of all
antichrist
agenda targeted against the growth
and the progress
of your church
in this season.
We bring them
into the
feet and instant judgment.
Oh Lord,
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Psalm chapter 22:27-28.
All the ends of the world shall remember
and call unto the Lord, and all the kingdoms of the nations shall worship before thee. Lift up your hands and
speak. The Lord and his covenant among the nations.
Hallelujah. Say, Father,
we ask
for the uprooting of every evil tree in our nation's leadership at all levels in this season. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you take your place of leadership in all our nation. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, lift up your voice. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Isaiah 27 verse 1 and 2. 1 Kings chapter 18 and in verse 38. Please, let's read together. In that day, the Lord with his sword and great strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the fiercest serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. 1 Kings, okay, verse 2. In that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. 1 Kings chapter 18 and in verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Hallelujah. Pray with me. Father, we pierce the head and slay the blood-spotted dragon and Leviathan over this nation, making demands on blood through terrorism, banditry, ritual killing, and political activities. We also kill it with pests by drying up its blood reserves with the fire of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, lift your voice and pray. Father, we pierce the head and slay the blood-sucking dragon and the diabolic. Rake popo shakata, rake patata, rake bradada, rake bradada, rake bradada, rake bradada, rake popo shakata, rake bradada.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Joel 3:14. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Lift up your voice and pray. Say, Father, we ask in this season that you will give us the harvest of the multitude in the valley of decision through this altar. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Again, Father, we ask in this season that you will give us the harvest of multitude in the valley of decision through this altar. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and pray. Leva batata sakayada. Leva da 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 da. Leva batata sakayada. Father, we ask that you give us the harvest of fortitude in this valley, that is the valley of decision, in this spiritual commission. Oh Lord, on this altar. Leva raka. Leva katala. Rapa da kayada. Leva keteleya. Leva raka da da da. The harvest of fortitude in the valley of decision.
In Jesus' precious name. How many of us believe that God has heard and answered us? How many of you believe that today you will never remain the same? Give the Lord a praise. Give him a big clap and a shout of praise. Help me shake 3 hands around you and congratulate them. Congratulations, 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 congratulations. Hallelujah. I want us to take the next 7 minutes aggressive celebration. The rain falling outside, you can see, is a confirmation that the blessing is here. Hallelujah. Celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let us, now in the first service I said, there is a connection between our praise and our prayer. By praise, we secure his audience. Sorry, by praise, we secure his presence. And in prayer, we have audience with him. Right? For thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praise of Israel. So,
By our praise, his presence is secure. By our prayer, we are having audience with him, and the two are necessary. I need his presence to have his audience. Right? The second thing we said is that praise, right, you didn't write the second thing. Praise appreciates God for what he has done, and prayer places the demand for what he should do. Appreciates God for what he already did, and then prayer places the demand for what he should next do. So having appreciated him for what he has done, you are in the position to place the demand for what he will next do. Somebody say aloud, amen. Thirdly, praise appreciate God for what he has done, and prayer places the demand for what he should do. Are you ready for the third one? Praise gives us the opportunity to hear from God, and prayer gives God the opportunity to hear from us, or gives us the opportunity for God to hear from us. You see, God causes his voice to be made known during praise. When the minstrel played, Elisha heard. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15. So it's a two-way thing. We hear from God, God hears from us. We hear from God through praise, God hears from us through prayers. So they are all linked. And so, as we are going to praise right now, I believe that all this will be happening for us. Get ready to make your request known to God. Get ready to hear what God is saying to you, and get ready for all of the things. Somebody say aloud, amen. Are you ready for the celebration? If the place you are standing is too tight for you, feel free to move. And if the person around you is too civilized, just move a little bit so that you can display your primitivity before God. Hallelujah! Let's celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you.
not disappear.